Good vach. This is Yisachar Wortel, and we are now up to Parshat Re'eh. So let's come see what's in store. See what I did there? See what I did there? All right. So I just wanted to mention both this week and last week's, I do apologize, last week's shiur as well as this week's shiur are sponsored in loving memory, Eloi Nishmat, Sima Bat Harav Ben Sion, Rebbetzin Simi Wagner. May her neshama have an aliyah. Okay, let us get started. Obviously, there's a lot to unpack in this week's parsha, but towards the beginning of this week's parsha, Hashem commands the Jewish people, when conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael, or really the land of Canaan, to destroy all of the idolaters, false gods, places of worship, and every what's called Eitz Ra'anan. Now, this refers to trees that were involved in a pagan rite, such as what's called an Asherah tree. We're not going to get into the particular forms of worship right now, but it was something that involved the tree in some respect, usually involved the deity hovering over the tree, or whatever it might be. Right, now, the word Ra'anan is a very interesting choice of words, Resh Ayin Nun Nun, as the only time, believe it or not, right, even though it seems like a fairly common word in modern Hebrew, meaning fresh, right, but it's actually the only time this word appears in Chumash, although it does appear numerous times in Nach. We often translate it as lush or splendid or verdant, which means like very green and fresh, but it's not so clear what root it most resembles. But what is interesting is the context in which it appears, specifically through Nach. Now, the majority of times that the word Ra'anan is used in our parsha is in conjunction with the term Kol Eitz. And this preceding phrase is always hyphenated, by the way. Kol, Kaf Lamed, Dash, Eitz, Ayin Tzadi. Ra'anan is usually associated with Avodah Zarah, idol worship, and almost always with respect to specifically a tree, including in virtually every instance in Nach. And the Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah says, Kol makom sheta motzei har ha-gvoa ve-giva nisa ve-eitz ra'anan da-shiyesh sham Avodah Zarah. Any place where you will find a tall mountain and a lofty hill and an eitz ra'anan, know that there was an Avodah Zarah. But there's actually a few contexts. Like even though it seems like, you know, 90% of the time that we see the term eitz ra'anan or ra'anan in juxtaposition to an eitz, it's referring to Avodah Zarah, there are actually a couple completely opposite scenarios. So in Tehillim Nun Bet, David HaMelech writes, contrasting him with those who trust in themselves rather than Hashem, he states about them, V'ani k'zayit ra'anan b'veit elokim, batachti b'chesed elokim olam ve'ed. And I am like a lush ra'anan olive tree in the house of God, and I trust in the chesed of God forever. So in this case, ra'anan actually has a very positive connotation, unlike where we normally see it. And like most words and concepts in the Torah, we actually have words that have a dual context to it. That's not something that's terribly uncommon. Now, looking at the word, not only does it have two nuns, right? And the letter nun mystically can represent change. In addition to the fact that these two nuns have different forms, we have a regular nun and a nun sophit, a final nun. And one specifically is one that encloses, right? The nun is kind of almost like a cuff a little bit. It's kind of rounded a little bit. And then you have one that goes straight down. But the word ra'anan is numerically equal to the word korea, kuf resh ayin, which means to tear apart. Now, you can tear or cut for destructive purposes or constructive purposes. We know that very famously by Shabbos, that if you tear destructively, you're not liable on a full Torah level. But if you do it for constructive purposes in order to make something or form something, then that is, you know, constructive, and that's actually something very, very severe, and it's a full violation of Shabbos. So a tree is something that's beautiful. It's meant for something for us to appreciate in nature. And it can be a divine blessing and something which is like, oh, Hashem, giving us, you know, giving us oxygen that, you know, takes in the carbon dioxide, gives us oxygen, gives us shade, gives us fruit, whatever it might be. But people can also use these trees as a blasphemous display of idolatrous worship. Now, as I mentioned, the phrase that's often attached to the word Ra'anan is Kol Eitz, which literally means every tree. Trees are often ubiquitous and are one of the most frequently viewed things that people will see in nature, unless you're in like a major urban city. But even so, we still have street trees. Every tree, every physical object in creation, period, can be used for good or evil. It's part of the ultimate dichotomy of the world that everything can be theoretically used for good or evil, even Torah. This phrase of Kol Eitz is numerically equal to a very powerful and common gematria, which is 210. And this is the same as actually a Shoresh, which has five permutations, with the letters Bet, Resh, and Chet in a variety of different orders with distinct but paired meanings. And we're going to explain. So first of all, if you put the Chet first, it becomes Cheref, which means a sword, or it can mean to Charav, to destroy. which is something which severs and causes things to be apart. Its diametric partner, or its opposite, is chaver, which means a friend or a group, or it means to group together, a message of unification and togetherness. So they're literally opposite. The cherev is something which destroys and it tears apart and ruins. Chaver is putting together and putting together unity and grouping and things like that. We also have the word barach or boreach, which means to flee, which again points to an idea of separating, the notion of being apart or being taken away from something. But it also has an opposite, which is bocher, which means to choose or to select, which is an inclusive nature, right? You're putting things together. Now there's a fifth one, which does not have a pair, and that's rachav, which means wide or a path, because a path is not inclusive or exclusive necessarily. It can go either way. A path can lead to multiple places. You can travel it this way, you can travel it that way, but ultimately it's up to decide, where is that path going to go? Is it going to be a constructive or destructive path? Is it going to be inclusive or exclusive? Is it going to be going this way, going that way? Ultimately, we have to decide what our Ra'anan will be, right? Will it be something that's fresh and everlasting and beautiful and amazing? Or will it be something which is being abused and it is a horrible nature and we're misusing and abusing something? Now, it's interesting that the actual first time that this term of kol eitz, meaning every tree, is used in the Torah is actually very, very early on in Parshat Bereishit, where we have eitz, the eitz of da'at, the tree of knowledge, which involved the first decision or path that mankind had to make. Obviously, Adam and Chava chose one way, they could have chosen another. Interestingly enough, we also have the term of Eitz Chaim being used in the same general context, which is the tree of life, which yields the fact that mankind will continue to have decisions. And the tree of life is something which Adam and Chava did not eat from. And then that is something which, you know, on some level will partake of in Olam Haba, when Mashiach comes, because we're, according to most opinions, never going to die at that point. But in a certain sense, we're always still nourishing from the tree of life because it was never officially taken away from us in a certain sense. We're always nourishing from the tree of life and we're always getting Shefa from Hashem and everything like that. And as long as we are alive, we have the ability to make choices and decide which path we are going to go on. Now, the word Eitz itself is something which, you know, I could probably talk about for at least a couple of hours if I really wanted to and put something together. And that also has a lot of gematrias, a lot of gematrias. It is equal to, you know, Ayin is 70, Tzadik is 90, so it's 160. It has many different things. And of course, Eitz comes up incredibly number of times in the Torah. But one thing that's interesting, and this one I've actually heard before, is that Eitz is equal to Kesef, because Kesef is the ultimate tool, right? Just as trees are ubiquitous and they're everywhere, and you can use wood and all these things like that, Kesef is the ultimate tool that we can use in this world. Just like you use lumber to build things, you use kesef. You can use kesef to construct, you can build amazing buildings, you can further amazing causes, or you can use kesef to bribe and corrupt, destroy, buy things which will corrupt your life and lead you to either immoral or just useless endeavors. So kesef is the ultimate tool, so to speak. So what are you fashioning, right? It depends what you're using the kesef for. We also see in this week's parsha, the concept of yad comes up many, many times. And we also have the concept of tzedakah and all these things like that. Use the question of what in yad, in terms of Hashem giving us giving other people. So ultimately what we do with our hands and the money in our hands or the wood in our hands, anything that we do in this world is ultimately a dichotomy. We have the ability to do amazing, amazing things, or we have the ability to do very destructive things. And ultimately it comes down to we make so many decisions every single day, just as many as trees there are in the world. We can make that many decisions in our life. And we have to just recognize that everything we do can be and often is consequential. And we want to make sure that we try and, as many times as possible, try and take the right path. And of course, there are times that we don't. And we are now very shortly going to be entering the month of Elul, and that's the time to reflect on those few times where we may not have necessarily chosen the correct path, and we would like to try and rectify that and hopefully make better decisions moving forward. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.